to Establish the Edge. I'm your host, Mike Leone, back for our Game Scores podcast. We took last week off. We're going to try and do this a weekly thing. I've got Adam Rausch with me to talk things over. Before getting into the GPP Game Scores, though, I want to let you know that the Establish the Edge podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. They've got their weekly Battle Royale tournaments going on. It's a snake draft, a lot of fun, unique way to play DFS. And if you use promo code ETR over there, for first-time depositors, you'll get a match up to $100 on your first deposit. So again, use promo code ETR to get up to $100 free over on Underdog Fantasy. Make sure to check them out. Adam, thank you for joining me for the GPP Game Scores podcast.
Thanks for having me on, Mike. Nice to see you again.
Yes, absolutely. I'm going to bring up, if you're watching this on the Established Run YouTube channel, Adam's game stack plot that he makes for me each week after the games are said and done. And this is the type of game stack plot we like to see, which is very minimal correlation between the average DK scores and the average ownership. Although it is kind of interesting that there was really only one game that got played a ton ownership wise. That was the Seattle Arizona game. I felt like I tried too hard to get pieces of that game in a unique way instead of having one or two lineups just kind of fade that game, Adam. But what stuck out to you?
Yeah, I think, but with a game like Arizona and Seattle, first of all, second time this year that an Arizona game got extremely steamed and massively failed. That kind of reminded me of week two, played Vegas.
That's right.
And we just can't trust them anymore, I guess. But I almost wonder, you know, is this kind of the setup that we want, though, where we have a game that's projecting to get steamed up really high, and that way we can just automatically kind of pivot to other games? You know, I mean, maybe Seattle and Arizona was a kind of a rare exception just because of how steamed it actually got. But you almost kind of want to see a game that lands in that upper left quadrant so that you know you're going to have some more viable options down on the bottom right.
Yeah, and the Buffalo KC game was pretty beneficial if you played the Allen stacks. The ownership on KC was hard to find someone to play, so it was actually, as a full game stack, somewhat low-owned, and the low-owned Juju Smith-Schuster piece hit in that game. So whenever there's value that's sort of spread out, Juju was a tough click, but if you stuck with it, I know I played Juju on my main teams. It worked out, even though I didn't have that good of a week overall. The Allen stuff was interesting, too, where the single stack with Stefon Diggs was like really high upside for large field tournaments. But then for small field tournaments, you could have doubled or even tripled him with Gabe Davis and Knox and got in there. So a good example of the difference between small and large field tournaments. The small field tournaments, it's okay to have two guys that are just okay and one guy smash. And, you know, you get less things right. That's why we stack more pieces. In large field, we're kind of trying to hit the nuts, and the single stacks are a bit more open. We also had the Burrow Chase kind of alpha single stack hit Adam in a pretty big way.
Yeah, I was listening to the GPP review that you and Drew did, and you guys made an emphasis on those alpha stacks last week. Kind of looking at this week, and we'll get into this, but there may be some spots where we can try to attack that with a similar strategy, where we kind of more focus on alpha stacks. I know we're about to get into it, but these game scores that we've got up for this week, there's not a whole lot to me that stands out as we're sitting here Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, and as always, the ownership aspect of this is very important, but also, unfortunately, very raw early in the week. It's just tough to get a handle on things, so these game scores will change, but they're up on the screen now. We've got four games that really kind of pop, but they're all clustered pretty tight together across the two sites. We've got Atlanta, Cincinnati, Houston, Las Vegas, Detroit, Dallas, and Seattle Chargers. The most popular game looks to be Houston, Las Vegas. Just a ton of value right now between, and this isn't even updated. I don't think all the markets updated yet for Darren Waller likely to be out. So Foster Moreau as a cheap tight end is going to be played a ton. Josh Jacobs is like right now the projected chalkiest player on the week. And then even on the Houston side, Damian Pierce is pretty chalky. So it's, you know, really good value. It's just going to be tough to get unique here. I wonder if people will play Brandon Cooks. We've got a couple guys that we'll talk through. Drake London's another one in the Atlanta where they seem to not be played as much as projections would indicate because no one really wants to click on them, and I don't blame people. But Davante Adams on the Las Vegas side is someone that, like, I've been on Davante since week one. Seems like a nice leverage piece if you want to go at this game.
Yeah, and I was I'm going to pull up his ownership right now because I was checking this earlier, and I saw that he was below 5%, which was pretty surprising to me. And we, you know, after we refreshed it, he's still 5%. You know, against the Houston secondary that's been prone to giving up, you know, big games to elite players, I think Davante is a great pivot. This game you can use to your advantage because it's in the afternoon. And ideally, I think the way that we like to play is we try to get as much information as we can from the early slate. This game is a 325 or a 305, I can't remember, but it's on the afternoon slate. Ideally, if we can maybe get some information from the early slate, maybe we get some of our lower owned stack from the early slate that hits, then you can feel more comfortable coming in, maybe fading the stack, but you can kind of play Jacobs in your stack. But you need to get contrarian in the afternoon. You have options here just because guys like Foster Moreau and Josh Jacobs are going to be so chalky. Davante is a great pivot.
Yeah. What's hard is on the swap stuff. So we do have some meaningful games in the afternoon. Houston, Raiders, Chargers, Seahawks, and 49ers, Chiefs was kind of just misses. They're like the fifth game in terms of ranking here. The salaries are hard to line up, though, with the chalk pieces versus the non-chalk pieces. That's something I'm going to have to look a little bit closer at. You know, if you're not playing Jacobs, you're not playing Moreau, you know, you got to pivot. It might be there's definitely contrarian pieces that you want to play late, but you're going to have to make sure that stuff lines up salary-wise. Zooming out, too, from a quarterback standpoint, we don't have, like, massive ceilings on the quarterbacks this week. I mean, when Allen and Hurts play, they have ceiling projections in, like, the high 30s, which is nuts. This week, we get Lamar at 32. That strikes me as low. I think, like, intuitively, I feel like the ceiling's a little bit higher than that on DraftKings. But you get Herbert, Burrow, you know, even, like, Dak, Mahomes, and, like Brady, and then Carr in this game, like within like a 5 to 6 point bucket on the ceiling side, and then Rodgers, and then you start to see a real big drop off. So a bit more flexibility in terms of what you do at quarterback, Adam, just because we don't have like the two absolute alphas. I kind of like these slates a little bit more instead of trying to figure out how, like, I have to play Josh Allen like last week.
Yeah. There's a lot of flexibility. I was kind of looking at Lamar a little bit in this Baltimore Cleveland game. He is the most expensive option on DraftKings, but his ownership with Mark Andrews on an average basis right now is not too out of line. So, but you can certainly kind of pivot down. You know, we just talked about that Vegas Houston game. Derek Carr is a cheaper option that you can go with. You know, I don't think many people will want to play Pat Mahomes, or they maybe, you know, I don't know if a lot of people are going to play Brady. So, you know, you can definitely kind of get creative. And I think most of the quarterbacks that we're looking at on this list right now are from these games that we're going to kind of run through here.
Yeah, and it's pretty spread out. The one that initially sticks out to me is Dak Prescott, just like fourth or fifth in line in terms of ownership, only 7%. CeeDee Lamb is like the wide receiver Josh Jacobs. He's going to be extremely highly played between the matchup and getting Dak back and just the volume that he's seen. So he's going to be really chalky, but my instinct is the numbers as they are now, I would love to play this game. I think on the Detroit side, people might be undervaluing Swift and Amon-Ra as they have come back from injuries. They had the bye week to get healthy, and this game could go crazy. I'm concerned, though, that this is like the obvious steam game where come the weekend, people are playing this game. In our, you know, snaps and pace stuff that Thorman does each week, this game's in the top right quadrant. That means these teams run a lot of plays, and they snap the ball pretty quickly in terms of play clock remaining in neutral situations. So that's my concern. But if the ownership stays where it is now, Amon-Ra and Swift have huge ceilings at pretty low ownership. Dak is like makes it kind of acceptable to play a chalky CD if you can get Dak with it at not a high ownership. And you can kind of double him. I think at first glance, like I might take a stab at Dalton Schultz if he gets a full week of practice in, but I want to see that from him because he's clearly had a tough time dealing with his current injury.
The nice thing about this game is if you do play CD, I mean, it seems like you're going to be able to keep your ownership down no matter who else you pair him with. I saw Zeke was projecting to be a little bit chalkier on FanDuel, but in, you know, if you're playing like DraftKings, I mean, yeah, if ownership holds as it is, you're going to be able to kind of differentiate with various different pieces, and you can be able, you know, to be comfortable with that. The other route to failure that I could see with this game is if we're just undervaluing Dallas's defense and they completely shut down Detroit. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of enter more of like a clock killing scheme and pace with Dallas where they just feed Zeke and Tony Pollard and kind of take the passing game out of it. It'll be interesting to see how Dallas utilizes Dak in his return. But yeah, I think, you know, usually we would look at a 30%+ owned or projected owned wide receiver and might give us pause to kind of stack the game, but the other pieces are projecting low enough to where I think it's still viable.
Yeah, I do like that you brought up the route to failure there, though, for this game. And that's like something for me where I'll just play the opposite of the market. You know, if these ownerships hold, I'll kind of dismiss that route to failure. But like if it's going to get steamed, if Dak starts to get chalky and those Detroit pieces I mentioned as bringbacks get chalky, then I'll move off the game a little bit with CD being so chalky. So we got to be reactive absolutely to what the market does.
Sorry to interrupt you, but this is one of those early slate games that we could get really good information on heading into that afternoon slate. So that's something I, you know, want people to keep in mind.
The Atlanta-Cincinnati game, you know, we've got a similar ceiling on that game to the Houston-Las Vegas game, but we get less value overall on the salaries though, and we get less ownership. So that game is kind of interesting where it gets to a similar GPP game score as Houston-Las Vegas in different ways. You know, similar ceiling, less value, but less ownership, which is a good thing. I'm really curious to see if people will chase the Ja'Marr Chase ceiling game. Unfortunately, in this day and age in DFS, the field's pretty sharp, and I'm worried that we could see people smartly pivot to T. Higgins at a much lower price as he looks healthier. But Burrow, you know, he's got a ceiling on this. Like this is a slate where you can play Burrow, as we said, like going through the quarterback stuff. You can double him. You can do a unique pairing with Mixon the way he's been used in the past game. You've got Hurst at tight end. So there's some interesting doubles if you kind of fade Chase and go the Hurst like T route. But I want to see the final ownerships on where Chase and T land. Right now we have Chase at 10%, T at 15%. I would definitely take the savings and play T in that situation. But if we got T steamed up to like the 20s and Chase was like 8%, that's where you might bring in the alpha stack that we talked about at the top of the show and just run it back again.
Yeah. And the other thing that we got to keep in mind in this game is Atlanta is, are they going to fly? I saw your notes here about Kyle Pitts on our Google Doc. It's frustrating. You have the Bengals in such a prime spot and you're just praying that the Falcons will push and, you know, lean on the passing game a little bit more. But, you know, it's easy. It's real easy to pair a guy like Higgins with Drake London. It's easy to fit in Kyle Pitts. I think people will still be tempted to do that. And, you know, the total's not bad on this game. It's 47.5. You're getting a similar ceiling to the other games that we talked about. So, yeah, I think I kind of agree with you. I would lean more towards playing T in stacks. Maybe you can fit in, you know, a Hurst or bring it back with a London or a Pitts. But there's kind of a couple ways you can go there. But I'm curious to see the final ownership on that one, too.
Yeah, I think people at this point are so sick of Atlanta that those guys aren't going to get steamed. London came in mega low in large field last week. Like I think our algorithmic ownership on him was like 13%, and we lowered him to like 9 or 10 manually. And then in the Millie Maker, I think he was like 1 or 2%. Like no one wants to click him. This week's going to be a little different. There's less opportunity cost than last week, but I feel like he's going to come in low. And there's some gross plays. There's another real tough click that I think people won't make that I'm tempted to make this week, Adam. We'll get into that in a second, but I want to stick with the main games. And we'll finish with Seattle Chargers and KC San Francisco. Seattle Chargers, again, I'll bring up the snaps and pace stuff. And this is one where both these teams snap the ball very quickly, which if they are efficient, that means we can see a lot of plays and a lot of scoring in this game. The offenses get up and down because they're going to play fast. The thing with Seattle is just whether they're good enough to sustain drives or not. And they've been very volatile as a result this season in terms of the number of offensive plays run. This game actually, it has a better total than Houston, Las Vegas, but it's got worse overall value, similar ceiling, high ownership. So again, another one of the high ownership games. And a lot of that's coming from the Seattle side, though, Adam, where these prices on Walker, Lockett in particular, but even Metcalf, they're just so easy to play in the mid-tier.
Yeah, and we're running into a spot again where DK is kind of the lesser, like the forgotten child, the forgotten receiver in the Seattle receiving core, where he's going to be lesser owned than Lockett just because they're refusing to price up Lockett. And so, I mean, you're going to have opportunities here. There's a lot of injury questions, though. I think that still need to get ironed out with this one. Keenan Allen is most definitely likely going to be out. I think I saw Gerald Everett got added to the injury report with an illness. Josh Palmer got entered in the concussion protocol. And I think even Lockett came on the injury report with a hammy, but I'm going to iron that out as we get closer to the week. But yeah, the way the pricing works out, there's so many ways you can attack it. Mike Williams is a negative value and he's a little, he's a little expensive, but he's going to be unowned. And that
unowned, yeah.
I mean, that could be a really key piece in your afternoon, if you're in your afternoon games, if you're building.
If you want to play this game, if you double the Chargers side and just pick one bring back from Seattle and then fade the other two Seattle pieces, like that's interesting. And we talked about too, sometimes you get like three chalk pieces on the same team, like in a vacuum, they might be bad chalk, but it's not bad to play one of them and hope that they get, kind of concentrated volume. And then you've got leverage off of the other two, even though you played one chalk piece. As you said, Metcalf looks like the best option to do that with. But yeah, taking into account this Keenan Allen uncertainty does create an ownership discount on the Herbert doubles. It's just, who do you want to play? I don't think you can play Keenan and Mike Williams together. I think you'd have to, correlate the tight end with Everett and then choose between Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And that's tough. I think Allen could be under-owned and is the better value. But as you said, absolutely no one's playing Mike Williams. We've seen the big play upside. So I don't think that you would cross him off just because his projected value isn't strong. And you can see with our ceiling projections, like our base projection is Allen higher than Mike Williams, and our ceiling projection has Mike Williams higher than Allen.
What about what do you think about Austin Eckler in stacks in that game?
Yeah. I want to see where that final number comes in at. I think in the mid-teens, that's fine. It's just what's hard for me, I guess the Chargers throw enough that you could stack Herbert with two expensive pieces. I just get a little gun shy. Like if I'm playing Eckler and Mike Williams, like, can they both get there? If I'm playing Eckler and Keenan, can they both get there? And I don't know if I want to like alpha stack Eckler. So I guess you could do Eckler, Everett. I kind of default to Everett in double stacks just because it's a cheap tight end and take my shots there. And it won't kill me if it's not a huge game, and then hope whichever of Eckler, Allen, Mike that I pick has the lion's share of the targets in the passing game.
Agreed.
KC San Francisco. This game's tough. I'm going to check our KC projections. They look a little light to me, but KC's not projecting well. I assume their ownership will come up when we manually make some stuff, but the situation you have with them is Kelsey's super expensive. And so he's a tough click over Mark Andrews too. And then like Juju has the recency bias, but he's more expensive than MVS. I could see MVS getting steamed. He kind of did last week. He's only 4,400, but people might just not play KC, which like it makes like, I think the Mahomes doubles are interesting where you almost ignore the projection, just understanding the correlation that's there. If the game gets there. And I really like this ceiling on the San Francisco side. It sounds like they might get Trent Williams back on the offensive line, which could make a big difference. But in a game where they're going to have to pass, Debo, Kittle, and Ayuk are all strong plays. We saw Ayuk hit in a big way last week. I'm inclined to go to Kittle or Debo this week.
Yeah, Kittle's usage has been getting better and better since he's returned to the field. And he's only 5,300, and he's projecting pretty well. I was kind of thinking how, in my head, you know, how popular would it be for people to play double tight end if they would go Kittle and Kelce in the same lineup? Kind of seen a little bit of that. I think one of Drew's lineups last week that did really well. I can't remember if it was his or yours lineup, had a double tight end stack.
Yeah, I think he had Knox and he had Knox and Kittle, right? Oh, was it Kittle? Yeah. I think it was Knox and Kittle, actually. It wasn't Andrews. Andrews, I don't know why he keeps being cheaper than Kelce, but that's going to keep... Yeah, I mean, I feel like Mahomes, Kelce, MVS, yeah, with a Kittle bring back is a really fun stack that doesn't totally kill your projected value. Definitely has ceiling and the ownership. That's one where I think it's pretty unlikely the ownership gets steamed too high. Like, I'm more worried about Dallas Detroit getting steamed.
Right. And the nice thing about this game is you're going to have a lot of flexibility with plays. The nice thing about Kansas City receivers being so cheap is that you can really flip them around easily. You can, you know, swap them out or really kind of like get yourself some salary savings there. And, or you can kind of be flexible there and, you know, swap onto maybe a more expensive Niners play. But yeah, I don't think the ownership's going to get out of hand at all. I like that this game is in the later part of the slate. So I think there's just a lot of fun ways you can stack it if you want to attack it that way.
Yeah, and I don't know. I probably won't do this. Drew will yell at me and say it's a horrible idea, but there's part of me that wonders if the Jimmy doubles could get there in the right script. Probably not. I'll say no. I only get one gross tout a week. It's not going to be the Jimmy doubles. My gross one, Adam, for this week is just going back to the Tom Brady well. It has not worked out, but the doubles for him, I still think remain really high upside. Unfortunately, I think Kate Otten's going to be really big chalk if Cameron Brate's out. It looks like Cameron Brate will be out. This is where I'll have to see the final ownership because I don't know if I want to play Brady into Otten and Godwin chalk. Mike Evans keeps coming in higher than we project, but he keeps failing, and I wonder if people finally give up on Evans, though. So if I can get like Brady, Evans, one chalk Tampa Bay piece, and with them being a high PROE team, I'm going to bring up the highest teams in passer over expectation. They're third highest right now behind only Buffalo and Kansas City. They've gotten much higher the last 4 weeks or so with the receivers healthy. You do not need a bring back, Adam, but I'll tell you what, me and Gary were talking about it. We can't help ourselves. A 4,900 DJ Moore that people aren't going to click. That's my pain play of the week, DJ Moore.
I'm not mad at it. This game score looks bad on paper, but it's primarily because I think the key reason is the total is super low. It's at 40. You don't need a Carolina bring back, but this is an opportunity where Tampa can really smash here. Carolina's one of the worst, if not the worst team in the league. They're actively trying to sell off their team. DJ Moore has been kind of caught up in some of those rumors, so maybe he's looking to kind of impress some teams on, you know, before he gets traded. You know, who knows? 4,900, that's a really appetizing price tag to try and pass up for a player profiling such as DJ Moore does. So, yeah, again, the total's really low. The game score is low, but could be a blow-up spot for Tampa. Could be a blow-up spot for Mike Evans. And then maybe if you want to, yeah. I'm not mad at a gross sneak in there, DJ Moore. I'm not terribly mad at it.
Okay. Anything that you're looking at outside of those, you know, primary game stacks? I gave kind of my gross one. Green Bay, Washington seems like mildly interesting. I think Rodgers is like on the border because normally I'd say he's out. I think he's on the border. Anything else for you for this week?
The only one that I think we already kind of talked about Cleveland, Baltimore. I don't know if that's gross enough. I'll give you one that's a little bit more disgusting than that.
You can do Cleveland, Baltimore. I don't think people are going to play the Cleveland side much.
No, but I think people will be enticed to play Andrews and
Lamar. I'm very curious to see if Andrews Lamar get really steamed because of the lack of the high-end quarterbacks that we have. The actual ownership we have right now on them is honestly like really fine in the low teens on each of them, but I would bet that our final projection is higher than that.
Yeah. But I'll give you one final really gross one. How about Colts at Titans? And the only reason I say that is because if we get a game where Derrick Henry, you know, launches and gets one of those 70-yard touchdown runs, and then all of a sudden Colts are kind of in a pace-up game. And we saw Matt Ryan throw the ball a lot last week, and Michael Pittman was heavily involved. I don't know if people are really going to want to click on Pittman even after a great performance. So, yeah, that's kind of a gross one for me there. But, we've seen those Derrick Henry blow-up games turn into absolute smashes for game stacks before.
Yeah, I like the mini there. I could see it too, where last week Ryan threw a lot, not like as it was a game plan thing too. It wasn't just that they got behind. Their pass rate over expectation was by far the highest of the year. Their no huddle rate was by far the highest of the year. They were snapping the ball fast. And I think the market consensus is that they regressed this week with Jonathan Taylor back, but that's not like a known fact. There's some uncertainty there. If they stick with that up-tempo pace, there's going to be a lot of stuff there. And you could even flip that though. If Jonathan Taylor breaks some big plays, you know, Bobby Woods, not the most fun play out there, but his target shares have been really strong. I don't think anyone will play him. So I do think the minis there are interesting. All right, Adam, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be back next week to recap this. As far as this week, if you're an Establish the Run subscriber, we'll have updated ownership, fantasy point projections, and Dick and I will go over some more of the game stack stuff on Saturday morning on our premium DFS GPP show called Establish the Million. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Please rate and review us on iTunes if you're watching on the Establish the Run YouTube channel. Give us a like and a subscribe. It helps us to keep doing this for free. We'll be right back.